Our first scripture reading is Acts 17 through 21a, chapter 5. When the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple, and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. This is the word of the Lord.
We are continuing our journey through Acts. Thanks, Travis. So hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us. I'm just going to keep going where Travis left off, verses 21 to 29. If I can find it. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police were there, they did not find the disciples in prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison, the disciples, are standing in the temple and teaching people. There's been a jailbreak." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. So imagine with me this morning that you happen to stop by the Williamson County Jail. And as you stop by the jail, who do you see in a prison cell but the 12 disciples? That's right. Imagine with me that they are all there. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthias. They're there in jail. And they're in their biblical clothing. And they've got their, like, Jesus robes and their Jesus sandals on. Maybe they have a goat with them. And you're like, "What?" And you say to them, "What are you doing in prison?" And you're thinking maybe there were just one too many speeding tickets on the church van. And they say, no. "We're in prison today for doing good works in the name of Jesus Christ. Apparently, we've done too many healings, too many good things in the power of Jesus." Well, now that's an image you're not going to forget, right? I mean, that would be like going to the Williamson County Jail and seeing Steve and Bo and Nancy and Paul and Francis and Jonathan and Billy and Amanda and the Fishers in a prison cell. And you're like, "What are you guys here for?" And they're like, "Good works for Jesus." We don't know, right? That's just crazy. But that's how it was. So as we've been reading Acts together, one thing I have discovered is that the apostles, as they are called in Acts, that's really the 12 disciples of Jesus. They're called apostles because they're messengers. It's from the Greek word apostolos. But anyway, the apostles, the 12 disciples, what I've learned in reading the book of Acts with you is that they're in jail all the time. Like they're constantly in jail. And this morning in chapter 5, they have been doing a lot of healing and a lot of blessing and a lot of preaching in God's word. And so more and more people are being healed, and more people are having miracles happen in their life, and more people are giving their lives to Jesus, and more people are joining the early church. And so more and more of the religious authorities are getting angry, and they're getting more and more furious, and they're worried because more and more of their power is being taken away. And so finally, the Sadducees, in a fit of jealousy, we're told in Acts chapter 5, they round up all of the 12 disciples, the apostles, and they throw them in jail. But they are innocent. They have committed no crime. Luckily, they're not in prison for long, because night falls. And an angel of the Lord shows up in the prison, and all of the doors fly open, and the angel of the Lord says, "Go out and preach the words of life to the people." That's what the Christian church is called right here in the book of Acts. The angel says, "Preach about the life we have in Jesus, the life of this sacred community. Go out and preach," says the angel. And so when daybreak comes, they're in the courts of the temple preaching about abundant life in Christ. I'm excited to report that that is not the only angelically orchestrated jailbreak story in Acts. If we skip ahead to Acts chapter 12, what do we discover? But now it's not all the disciples in prison. Now it's just Peter. Peter is in prison in Acts chapter 12. He's bound by two chains on his arms. He is sleeping between two guards. There are prison guards outside of his door. And right about midnight one night, when it was dark at night, the Bible tells us, there is this bright, shining light in his prison cell. And the angel of the Lord shows up. And I love what this angel says. This angel literally says, like, "Get up, put on your belt, put on your sandals, wrap your robe around you, and follow me." The angel of the Lord in this story is a little bit like Marty McFly from Back to the Future. It's like, "Strap on your seatbelt, here we go, buddy." And even the doors and the gates of the prison open before them. That's Peter's story in Acts chapter 12. But there's a third prison break story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. This one involves our two amigos, Paul and Silas. They were missionaries for Jesus. They're starting churches. They're preaching the gospel all over the place. They're getting in trouble with the authorities all the time. When we find them in Acts chapter 16, it's midnight. And they are in the innermost cell of the prison. And that's important. And when we find them at midnight in the innermost cell of the prison, they're singing. What are they singing? It's not Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny Cash. Okay? They're singing hymns and praises to God. And in the midst of the hymns and praises, a great earthquake comes, and all the prison doors open. I think the angel of the Lord was on vacation or something, because this one doesn't involve an angel. It's an earthquake. There's a great earthquake. Doors fly open. Chains fall to the ground. The prison guard hears it. And the prison guard calls for the light. And we think that the disciples are going to get thrown back in jail. But instead, the prison guard says, "How can my family be saved? How can we be saved?" Because in this miraculous prison break, somehow the prison guard who calls for the light recognizes this as the work of God. And so he's, how can we be saved? And the apostles, Silas and Paul, they're going to say, "Believe in Jesus Christ, and you and your family will be saved." Three stories about jailbreaks by God. When there are three of anything in your Bible, three of something in a chapter you're reading, three of something in a book you're reading, pay attention. Three of something is a way of that author of telling you, this is important, pay attention. Three is a holy rhetorical idea in the Bible. So if there's three, we got to pay attention. So this is a big deal. We got to pay attention, right? And what do we learn from these three stories? What do we see? Well, we see light and dark, dark and light. Did you notice that things happened at night, in the dark, in the innermost cell, at midnight? Did you notice the light they preached at daybreak? The guard called for the light. There was a great light in Peter's cell. This is all about the battle of light overcoming the darkness. Which means our good buddy George Lucas of Star Wars was not the first guy, Caleb, to write about the light overcoming the darkness, okay? White-clad Luke Skywalker defeating the Lord of the Darkness, Darth Vader. Yeah, that storyline was written by God, okay? God gets credit on that one. Jesus Christ, the light of the light world, coming into the world, the light of our life, to defeat the darkness. That storyline belongs to God, and it's one we know well. That in the end, at the end of the day, in the second coming of Christ, when all is made right, love wins. Love wins. And it's true from the moment of the incarnation when God came to be with us on Christmas, and then the death and the resurrection and the ascension. Love wins then, and love continues to win, and love will win in the days to come. Light will defeat darkness. Good will defeat evil. Love wins, period. That's the truth we give our lives to every day. Love wins. Love wins. And yet, how come the bringers of hate and injustice in this world do not seem to want to fade into the pages of history? The good news of Jesus Christ for us today is that we do not have what it takes to defeat evil and darkness in this world. That is correct. The person who may be the most enthusiastic and optimistic person you have ever met, your pastor, by the grace of God, just told you that you do not have what it takes to defeat the powers of evil and darkness in this world. We are not equipped. We don't have what it takes. We are like James Bond in the movie Skyfall, who takes his 00 agent exam and is deemed unfit mentally and physically to defeat the evil he will face in his life. They look at him and they say, James Bond, you do not have what it takes to defeat evil and darkness in this world. That's us. We do not have what it takes to defeat evil and darkness in this world, but Jesus does. And that's the point. And that's the point of Acts. Do you know what really scares me recently? What really scares me is that when I face a difficult issue in my personal life, when my family's going through something that's causing us to worry, when I read headlines that make me sick, in all of those instances, there is something deep inside me that knows that I don't have the gifts or the power needed to rise to the challenge. I don't have what it takes to fix this or defeat this in my family's life or in the world. And that's the hard truth. As much as I believe that we Christians are called to serve in Christ like the disciples did, as much as I believe we're called to be a part of the life of Christ in this world and heal and bless and do good works, at the end of the day, there's something inside me that knows I do not have what it takes to defeat evil in my life or in this world. Only Jesus does. And that's the point. That's the point. Look at the disciples in Acts. Look at their story. More and more healings, more and more people joining the church, more and more great works. Peter is going to bless and heal a woman with mental illness in his story. The disciples take care of people's physical and emotional and spiritual needs. Miraculous things happen, but what also happens? They land in jail. They get persecuted, as Kim Oakley talked about in her children's message. They face horrible, miserable situations despite their good works, despite all that they're doing for Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ in this world. It's not enough. They land in prison. They get persecuted. Jesus has to come in and jailbreak them again and again, heal their wounds, send them on their way. It's not enough. If that was it, if it was on the disciples and their good work, we wouldn't be here today. The church would have never found its wings. Even the miraculous things that they were able to do wasn't enough to defeat darkness in this world. They didn't have what it takes. Only Jesus has what it takes. And that's the point. So let's try the good news of the gospel for all of us today one more time. The good news of the gospel is we do not have what it takes to defeat hate and evil in this world. But Jesus does. So we hold fast to Christ. We live in Christ. We pray in Christ. All over Acts, they're constantly praying. We sing in Christ. We hope in Christ. We serve in Christ. We go boldly in Christ. But in Christ and Christ alone will there be victory. And we know that victory has already been won. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Christ has won. Christ will continue to win. Love wins. That's the ending of our story. It's a spoiler alert. Love wins. I can tell you how the story ends. And we live into it every day. We do not have what it takes to defeat darkness and hate in this world. Jesus Christ does. And that's the point. That's the grace. And so I leave you this morning with Paul's words from Ephesians. Paul, the prisoner in chains with his buddy Silas. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now to him, by the power that is within us, who is able to accomplish more abundantly than we could ever imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ for all generations, forever and ever." Love wins. Amen. Please stand and sing with us.